creating and rekindling memories. NHR.
Good morning and welcome to Kev Castle Nottingham Hospital Radio. I've got with me someone who I've been looking forward to talking to for absolutely ages. Actor, dancer, singer, well, he's a big name in theatre as well, choreographer and musician as well. And let's start with that because you talked to play the French horn and the trumpet. Yeah. And you were in a few bands as well in Australia.
Yeah, I was. Instrument I learned was the recorder, like most people, but I took that to the next level because I loved it so much, and that I played the recorder in a recorder group, an ensemble of seven recorders, you know, it was, and we had our own little band, and we played at the Sydney Opera House in Australia, and that led me to then learn the French horn, and I learned the French horn, and I loved that, and then when I changed schools in my hometown to from Sydney to Ballarat, they didn't have a French horn at the school for me to play, so they put me on trumpet. So I learned trumpet there, and I played trumpet in the band, you know, the school band. Mm. And then they didn't want me on cornet for the marching band, so I was put onto tenor horn. So I ended up being in the Ballarat Memorial Marching Band, playing the tenor horn for all their events and things like that. And so, yeah, that's why I fell in love with music. And that, of course, led beautifully into dancing and performing and everything else.
Yeah, so and also into drag as well.
Yeah, into drag.
Lavish.
Yes,
let's go back a bit and talk about Lavish. She was your first sort of drag persona, I believe.
Yeah, that's right. And I stuck with her for many, many years. She used to play the trumpet because I used to do the gimmick number, you know, Mazappa. And so I'd play the trumpet on that as well, you know, in drag, and I'd be tap dancing, doing the splits and all sorts of things. No, but I used to, I was moonlighting, you know, as a drag queen in Australia. So I was in a show called Sugar Babies, and then after that show finished, literally that evening, I'd get my trumpet out, take on my drag and my backing tracks and go to clubs and work. It was great. And it's only, I only really did it to end, because I wanted to actually sing. And I was mainly a dancer, you know, in the back row of the chorus in that way. Yes, I was singing, but I wasn't doing as many solos. I was constantly understudying, you know, the lead roles. But I wanted to gain experience in the clubs and all of that. So I created this character, Lavish, and took her on tour, darling. And she's made a few appearances. And of course, many, many, many years later, literally 40 years later, here I am, sat before you in drag, darling, doing essentially what I started doing when I was 18, 19.
Well, obviously doing it well because you're still doing it.
Yeah, still doing it. And it's great fun. You know, I love it. I love anything theatrical. I've been in the theatre for all my life, and I direct, I choreograph, and I do all sorts of other things, you know, like types of performances like operas and ballets, all everything, you know. So for me, directing was a perfect sort of springboard, you know, for me to continue work in the industry. But then Panto was the thing that brought my performing skills back. I sort of gave up for 16 years because I was so busy directing. And then, of course, I've been on Strictly for 21 years, you know, and that's amazing in itself.
When was the big break for dancing, though, for you? Because I know you've been dancing since you were very young.
Yeah, I auditioned for, there was a show on TV, and it had seven dancers in, and they were called the Natural Seven. And I really wanted to be one of them. So I was training in my hometown of Ballarat. Then I moved to Melbourne. I trained in Melbourne with my dancing. And then I auditioned for this show, and I thought, oh, no, they're like way better than me. So I kept, you know, I kept auditioning, but I was not disheartened, but I was woken up to the fact that I needed to train a lot harder and get a lot better, you know, because I thought highly of myself, but I was from Ballarat. My teacher was saying, oh, you know, you should go for it, you should go for it. But, you know, the experience of auditioning was fantastic. And then I did an audition for a show called West Side Story, and I got it. And I went, wow, that's amazing, because that's one of my favourite
musicals.
You know, it's incredible. So that was my first ever professional dance experience. And then I never stopped working. And that's probably because I sing, I'm tall, and I'm bookable in that way.
Is what Bruce would have called an all-rounder.
Yeah.
Mr. Saturday Night, which is what you're turning into.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
And every other day of the week as well, come to think of it.
It's really great. You know, I'm very fortunate to be still working in the business. And I love doing Panto for the simple reason that it introduces children to theatre. And they get a voice here. You know, generally children have always been told to be quiet, you know, they're not allowed to be quiet, sit there and shut up, you know, but here at Pantoland, they can actually be themselves and scream and have an opinion, and they're off their iPads. That's what I love, you know, they're doing something sort of real.
Live entertainment, you can't beat it.
I agree.
So, with drag, I mean, how long does it take you to get into, what, into your drag persona at the moment at the Theatre Royal?
Yeah, I generally come in about 11 just to do stuff. You know, if I'm doing a 1:30 show, I'll be in 2.5 hours before it. And that's really just to warm up my voice, warm up my body, get the face on, partake, you know, get a massage, potentially do dressing room stuff, you know, like fan mail, all of that stuff that people don't take into the equation because that's an hour of your time.
Yeah.
You know, so while my eyebrows are drying and things like that, I get some fan mail done and, you know, signings and things like that. And I sort of find it really, I don't know, calming to come in a little bit earlier because no one else is here. You know, it's very quiet. And you can just warm up gently, and I really love it because the chaos of doing the show twice a day is enormous. You know, you need a lot of, I go through a lot of Barocca, darling.
with the character Baroness Demonica Hardup, great name.
It is.
So, how would you, for anybody who's not been to see the Panther, how would you describe her?
She loves herself. She thinks she's sexy and she thinks she's amazing, but she's also broke. So she's pretending she's not broke, but she is desperate to get her daughters married off, you know, into royalty because she's run out of money. I mean, she's hard as nails. She does not like her stepdaughter. Of course, that was her sister's.
Of course,
died. So this is my idea of it anyway. But her sister died and left her this daughter, and she can't stand her, and really puts her down. And of course, obviously, she ends up in prison in this particular production. But she's, I think, you know, she's sort of almost a lovable character as well.
Yeah.
You know, I want people to actually not feel sorry for her, or, you know, I want people to boo me and boo her, but understand that people make mistakes.
She has redeeming features, doesn't she?
Yeah, and there's reasons why she is being nasty, because she's desperate. You know, it's not a long way from Miss Hannigan, except Demonica's not a drunk, whereas Hannigan is.
Yes, of course, yeah. When I came down to see it on press night, I was quite surprised that the lady sat next to me, after you started singing the first time, she turned around and she goes, he's not got a bad voice at all, has he?
Oh,
and that, I think, comes as a surprise to a lot of people.
Yeah.
But, I mean, last year you released the Revelations album.
Yes.
Songs that boys don't sing. Yeah.
Well, they're all women's songs.
Yes.
Geared for women, you know, but they're songs I sort of grew up with, and that's what I love doing. And I just brought the album out because it was a personal thing that I wanted to do for myself and my mum, you know, before I died. I thought, I better do this sort of now, you know, and I thought I'd better record it before I'm 60. And then I took it on tour, and of course I'm going on tour again next year with the same show, which is
brilliant,
really fantastic, going to a lot of other theatres that I couldn't make last time, because I think I did, I don't know, 38 dates, something like that, but I'm doing 50 next year, and in smaller little venues, because it's one of those shows that's an evening with, that's very intimate.
Yes.
And I get to talk about my life, I get to talk to the audience, I get to sing songs I love, I play the recorder, I've got my beautiful friend Ben Goddard on piano, you know, and I've got some fabulous backing tracks as well, you know, for the big numbers.
Yeah.
And I'm taking on tour for some costumes and things like that, all the stuff I love, you know, and it's like, I don't know, coming around to my house at Christmas, you know, it is one of those where you sit back, relax, have a drink, you know, and entertain.
Will we get a second album?
I'm hoping to do a second one because I wouldn't mind. I've written some songs that I would like to put out there, you know, some original things. I mean, all the ones I did on Revelations were covers of songs that I loved that are famous or made famous by women or were sung in shows, in the musicals that I performed in that I would never get to sing because they're women.
For women.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I'm hoping, you know, the record company said, the label said, Westway, they said that they'd love to do another one with me. So I think I'll go for that, but I think that might take a little bit more time. You know, at the moment, I'm pretty up against it. But I might have time next summer to do the recordings for those new songs. Yeah.
Yeah. There was a Christmas song out as well, I believe.
Yes, that was the first one I brought out. Yeah. It's Christmas, Merry Christmas.
That's the one.
Yeah, that was with my friend Rietta.
Yes.
And we write together. So Rietta and I have written some really cool tunes. So I really would love people to hear them. So I think we should record them. It would be a waste not to.
Absolutely. And Christmas now is, you know, it's the right time again to play them.
Completely. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a really good song, actually. It did quite well in the charts until Elton John came along and stole my thunder.
Damn that Elton.
I think we were number 23 for an hour, which I think is really good because I didn't think it would make the top 100, but it did, you know, so we were pleased with it. And it's a cute little Christmas
song. It is, yes. And I love the video as well. Yeah, was that filmed around your house?
Yeah, that was in my living room.
Yeah, with the piano and everything.
With the piano and all that. Yeah, I call that the Cabaret Lounge.
Oh, brilliant.
Because it's set on two levels, you know. So I put the piano up there and there was a good little performance space.
Yeah.
So we had a lot of fun doing that. You know, we weren't taking it that seriously. You know, we didn't want to be number one, for instance. You know, we didn't want to make any money out of it. We just wanted to release it because it's such a cool song.
Well, why not? So now, I know Nottingham means quite a bit to you.
Yeah.
I think, was it in Nottingham you met your partner, Jonathan?
Yes, that's right.
How did you two meet?
On Tinder. And I spread my sort of web quite wide, over 300 miles, because I was on tour, you see, doing Strictly Come Dancing. And we had a speed date for an hour at Delilah's here in Nottingham.
All right.
And that's where we fell in love. Boom. And then, you know, that was 8 years ago. So, and we are planning, we're engaged to be married.
Yes.
We haven't set the date yet. Every time we set the date,
something happens. I know. Yeah, last time it was COVID, wasn't it?
Yeah, so, COVID. Yeah. That was a nightmare.
And then your mum wasn't well.
Then my mum wasn't well. She got cancer. My sister got breast cancer, which was not great. So we postponed it. And then I decided to do the house build instead. So we haven't got the money to get married now. Because house, you know, the prices for...
Yeah.
Doing a house up now has tripled. So for me, you know, I'll have to sort of start from scratch, really saving for the wedding again.
Oh, well, you'll get there. You'll get
but at least I'll have a new kitchen and a nice living room.
Well, what more can you? And a piano. Make sure you get a piano.
Oh, I'm keeping the piano there, that's for sure. Definitely.
Now then, we can't talk to you without talking about Strictly. And this weekend's semi final. Do you and the other judges get tired of sort of. Well, every time you go on sort of Facebook or anything like that, they're always moaning, people are, about sort of the people who get voted out and, you know, it's all a fix and everything. As the judges, I'm sure that you must think, well, yeah, it's your fault. You didn't vote for them.
Yeah, well, this is the problem. You know, people can have their opinions. You know, I very rarely read them all, but, you know, some opinions count, and I sometimes agree, you know, some people shouldn't have gone. But, you know, the point I'm making is that the audience at home have 50% of the vote.
Yeah.
The four of us just make up the half of it, you know, so they can turn the leaderboard on its head. And it's a show for the people, you know, so they're allowed to have their opinion, which is totally fine. And, of course, they're going to get upset. For instance, someone like Lewis, who went, who I thought would go on to win it.
Yes, yeah, same
know,
here.
As I said on the programme, I said, I didn't put them in the bottom two.
Yeah.
The audience did.
Yeah.
And they're the ones forcing us to decide between two extremely good dancers.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And just on that particular day, Lewis, unfortunately, couldn't beat Amber.
Mm.
You know, so this is essentially the problem. You know, but it gives people wanted Bell through, they wanted all the others through, George through, for instance.
Yeah.
And their scores weren't as high as Amber's, for instance, but that really doesn't matter. You know, it's up to the audience and the public, and they speak and we listen, and then we've got to choose the best dance on the night.
It's the nature of the game, isn't it? Somebody's got to go out every week. Yep. So, yeah, you know, and somebody's favourite is going to go out.
Yeah, listen, I don't get emotional about it either. And I do not cry at home because someone is complaining to me. You know what I'm saying? And mostly the people that are at home that are complaining have no dance experience whatsoever. Absolutely.
Personality, that's what they're voting for. Yeah, a lot of the time, I think, anyway. Exactly. So you're here for Christmas. How are you going to spend actual Christmas Day then?
I'm having it because my house is being demolished and is in the middle of a rebuild. I have no kitchen, so I'm going to a lovely friend's house in my little village. They've invited us around. And similarly, for New Year's Eve, I'm doing a little, like, there's just going to be 10 of us. It's very small. I normally have a very big, splashy Christmas at home. You know, I get out my best cutlery. It's the only time I actually see my best cutlery and my best plates, you know, normal crockery. But that is all, unfortunately, in storage. But the following Christmas, come 2026, darling, is going to be amazing. And my New Year's Eve, I can go back to having my heated pool parties on New Year's and my fireworks. So I'm looking forward to that to see in 2027.
Marvellous. Or I should say fabulous.
Fabulous, darling.
Definitely. So very quickly, what does 2026 hold for you, apart from getting the house sorted and mini tour?
Yeah, house is something to look forward to. I'm going to Australia to visit my whole family for a holiday this time. I normally film out there, but I'm going on holiday. I'm doing April, May, June. I'm doing my Revelations tour, which is going to every theatre known to man in the provinces, which will be great. I'm then going to see if I can record some parts of the new album, August, September. I'm also going to a wedding in Australia in August. So I'm quite busy. Then Strictly starts September.
Yeah.
And I'll be doing Strictly September, October, November, December. I'm sure I'll be doing Panto again if they have me back. And then the Strictly tour, of course, again.
Again, yeah.
Yes, and I normally do Dancing with the Stars then come sort of March, but that is not happening this year, so that may happen again next year.
Brilliant. Cinderella, starring Craig Revel Horwood and Christina Bianca and Neil Hurst, of course, and the others, is at the Nottingham Theatre Royal until Sunday the 4th of January. Craig, thank you so much. It's been amazing to speak to you.
And you've been fabulous.
Thank you, darling.
And you know what? I'm going to give you a 10.
Oh, amazing. Well, you put the 10 into entertainment as well. So cheers, Craig. Thank you.
Did you know that Nottingham Hospital Radio is a registered charity? As a result, we rely on people like you to donate to it. All our members are committed volunteers who run the service for the benefit and entertainment of the patients in the Queen's Medical Centre and City Hospitals. Research has shown that listening to hospital radio can positively benefit a patient's recovery, and we think it's a very worthwhile thing to do. Donating to NHR is easy and rewarding, so please log on to nhradio.org.uk and go to the donate page. That's nhradio.org.uk/donate. You'll be glad you did, and thank you.